As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it is time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Kondorian Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament and set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation for their estate planning attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Tell them Grant and Danny sent you for a discount. That's camlawyers.com. They brought us on the road to Philly. We were in the link last night watching the Commanders give the Eagles all they could handle for three quarters. And then the floodgates opened, and the NFC East is now going through Philly. Washington will look to reverse fortune and get back in the mix in the weeks ahead. And they still have one home game to go against the Eagles that could cancel out last night.
They do. There's still plenty to play for, plenty on the table, plenty of good that has happened, and plenty of good that will happen. Last night shouldn't shake anybody into thinking this is some kind of disaster or here we go again. This is, they've lost to a couple of good teams in the span of 5 days. So change your eye line a little bit, but don't drop it down to your shoes. They're plenty good enough to beat bad teams. They're plenty good enough to be a postseason team, and I think that's what's in store.
And we had to get someone on the beat who was on the scene in the locker room last night on the Blitz because there's just too many newsy items to get to. So let's talk to Ben Standing right now to kick things off. You can read Ben's work in The Athletic. Ben, why don't we start with the rib? Everybody last night decided that this rib is, in fact, the big problem here. Quinn saying it's not. They're still giving him treatment during the game. How big of an issue do you think it is?
Well, I'll say this to go back to the start of everything we've been through with Dan Quinn the last, you know, umpteen months here. You know, obviously these teams are not going to tell us everything because, you know, whatever strategic reasons or, you know, they just don't want to. But I haven't sensed at all that Dan Quinn has been, like, sort of sending us in a wrong direction purposefully. You know, he may not tell us everything, but he's not lying to us. So based on that, I guess I have no – I kind of believe that it's not really an issue. Maybe they're just doing it to, you know, like if you hurt your knee, you wear a knee something. You know, you may have something on your knee going forward or for a little bit. Or I don't know. So I'll take it at its word. I mean, that said, something is clearly – off. There seems, you know, the line of demarcation from where Jaden Daniels has looked different came at that exact, you know, moment when he hurt the rib. So yeah, it's confusing for sure because we're not really getting much other reason. The only other reason about why, like, it would be like that he seems to be struggling is that the team, the defenses are, you know, figuring out what to do against this group, and now that's a whole other can of worms. So yeah, I guess I buy that he's not hurt, but I understand if people are skeptical.
Benjamin, the thing, another one of these ingredients here for me as to why it hasn't gone as well lately, in addition to playing better teams, good defenses, et cetera, is this Cliff Kingsbury history and pattern of, you know, offensive regression. His teams have come out like gangbusters at times, thinking back to when he was in Arizona, maybe some of the college times as well, where it looks unstoppable, unsolvable, and all of a sudden, teams figure it out a little bit, right? They figure out some of these patterns. And maybe that's part of it, too. What are your thoughts there?
It's definitely something you have to consider. I mean, going back, you know, for the start of all this thing, that was one of the things about Cliff Kingsbury. You know, from an air raid offense, got that great view in the living room, and his teams get found out to some degree over the course of time. So, yeah, I think it's something to absolutely consider. I mean, look, I think the other thing is here, like, you know, a couple games ago, you know, everything looked fine against the Giants for the most part. Giants also weren't very good, right? The other teams that they've played lately are better teams overall, good
right.
defenses, et cetera. And, you know, this team may just simply have been sort of hitting the ceiling as to what they can do against a certain threshold of team. But, I think it's absolutely something to consider, and no doubt it's going to be a question that gets brought up, I would bet, next week when we meet with Kingsbury.
Ben, I know this is going to sound insane to someone who only watched the fourth quarter, and even someone who just looks at the box score based on the fourth quarter, but I think this defense keeps getting better and better. I actually found last night to be super encouraging.
Yeah, same here.
I didn't think they were going to have the personnel to stop the Eagles with Barkley and Brown and Smith, And everyone will say, well, look at the fourth quarter. They caved in. They were terrible. They played 145 snaps since the start of Sunday afternoon against Pittsburgh. 69 minutes they were on the field for. 33 minutes and 36 minutes in the two games respectively. Of course, eventually, they were going to lapse. But I actually really think Joe Witt, Dan Quinn, that defense, I mean, they are in a pretty good spot right now.
Yeah, I joked last night in the press box because the secondary was playing pretty good. I was like, wait, why did they think they needed Marshon Lattimore? I mean, things are pretty good. What are you doing? No, I'm with you. They looked the first half, they were flying around, a lot of energy. They're making plays. And you're right. I kind of think, I'm sure you guys have talked about, you know, the fourth down call by Dan Quinn a ton already, but I think part of the reason why he may have thought he needed to do it, not just because he was afraid that his defense might, allow points to be scored even if they kick the field goal because of the way the Eagles are looking, but just to try to buy his defense some time, that he saw that they were gassed and like, hey, I think they've been doing pretty good, but let me see if I can buy them more time, get at least another three downs here, et cetera. I thought they played well for sure. I was pretty surprised, I'll be honest, particularly with the receiver part, but yeah, they did a good job.
Running game at times, Robinson ended up with in the 60s of yards and Eckler got his, but it still felt like Philadelphia got the better of this group up front a little bit. Is that wear and tear? Is that Philadelphia, obviously has a really good front? Jalen Carter was a man last night, for example. Give me kind of your diagnosis of this run game as it relates to the O-line.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the line had a tough night in general last night. You know, I think... I feel like the Eagles won the battle in the trenches for sure. I think Brandon Coleman's kind of stood out to me as somebody who had a tougher night last night. Look, I think across the board, you could probably pick any matchup. The Eagles probably have more talent at the corresponding spot, and I think that was the case here as well. And again, to be clear, that's not a knock on Washington. This was a team that, whatever you want to call it, a rebuild or recalibration or whatever, was effectively starting over, and they're putting pieces together. And, they've got a few long-term pieces, but most of it is, somewhat stopgap and go from there. And I don't think that's just necessarily on the line because, we know that they just signed a few of those guys and Cosme got a big extension. But, I think they're still sorting their way through everything they're doing. And also, look, we'd have to ask them, Tyler Biadasz last week, I mean, he was really hobbling around on that ankle. Andrew Wiley just came back from the shoulder. Cornelius Lucas didn't really play at all, even though he was active. So, I'm sure they're beat up a bit, but I think the Eagles just had, kind of had their way, and ultimately that leads to, look, the two running backs are probably the best part of the offense, right? It just, maybe in the second half, it got away from them a little bit.
Ben, we appreciate you. We'll go read you at The Athletic. Thank you, buddy, and enjoy your little mini-bye this weekend.
I'm going to go take a nap right now. Thanks, fellas.
Enjoy, bro.
I bet. You need it. All right, let's talk about the NFL. Our guy, Zach Kruger from RotoWorld, joins us on site.
He's right here.
In Silver
That's
Spring.
How you beltway blitz, bro.
That is how you blitz. What's up, brother? How are you?
What's going on, guys? Good to see you. I was able to escape the throes of fatherhood for a few hours and be out here with you guys today. So, obviously, excited about my new role, but happy to be here with you guys for
a bit. Well, it's one of those where you got to tell your wife where it's like, I have to go. I would change that diaper, but I literally have to go. The guys need me.
I'm on assignment.
That's right.
I'm on assignment. I must leave.
Yep. Business trip, obviously. we appreciate you stopping through. Very, very cool to see you. Paint with a broad brush before we get to the NFL. What'd you make of last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people have kind of said at this point in time, we've seen Jaden Daniels and the Commanders against two, upper echelon defenses compared to what they've seen in the previous weeks. That's obviously tough. One thing that I've noticed, and I think everyone's probably talked about this as well, only 23 rush yards in the last two games for Jaden Daniels, which is very low totals. And the thing I've noticed defensively, I've been looking for stats. I'm hoping to find it at some point in time. I'm curious to know how much the defense is actually spying him with a linebacker to try to keep him from getting out of the pocket, because he seems to be often keyed in on whenever he tries to roam around a little bit compared to games before, where I think he was able to escape the pocket a little bit more freely and not have that defender pass the line of scrimmage who was ready to track him down whenever he broke the
So I know we got NFL to cover, Zach, but I think it's a good point. I feel like Pittsburgh was able to do that because Patrick Queen can run better than I remember being able to run as a previous years. Last night, I don't know if it was an Akobe Dean spy job, but I think it was where he was in the zone that allowed him to then step up and say, I'm not worried about someone behind me, right? Maybe with the route combos, but it's interesting. That's going to be something to note going forward. Let's get to the games this weekend. Start with one of the biggest ones, the Chiefs. They have not lost this year, despite, I think they've led for fewer minutes played than the Saints have over the course of the season. Right? I saw that crazy stat. But they're in Buffalo. What do we need to know?
Yeah, I mean, at first it's a crime that it's not a primetime game. I think it's like a 4 o'clock game. So that's rough that we don't get to see that one nationally. But some key players out, at least for the Bills right away. Keon Coleman, the rookie wide receiver, he's now missing his second straight game with a wrist injury. The Bills are going to be short him. They also ruled out Dalton Kincaid, their tight end, who suffered a knee injury in Week 10. They ruled him out for this one. So it's going to be hopefully Amari Cooper. He's practiced this week. He said he's going to wear a cast on his wrist. After missing last week, he's going to wear a cast on his wrist for this game. And then Dawson Knox is going to be stepping in and starting for the Bills in lieu of Kincaid being out. One interesting stat I looked at a couple minutes ago, the Chiefs over their last five games have allowed 6 catches and 67 yards to opposing tight ends over the last 5 weeks. So if you're that fantasy guru guy looking for a streaming option, there could be an option there in Dawson Knox for a one-game flyer. And then people have probably caught wind of Isaiah Pacheco being designated to return from injured reserve. Doesn't mean he's coming back yet. Andy Reid said he's probably not going to be here for Week 11, so it's going to be another week of Kareem Hunt throwing the rock for the Chiefs most of the way. He's seen a 37% opportunity share since taking over as a lead back for the Chiefs, which is just a ridiculous total. It's going to be a lot of Kareem Hunt for the Chiefs in this one.
I like that. Packers-Bears is a game I got my eyes on. It's a 1 o'clock kick. Soldier Field, Chicago. Seems like Matt Eberflus' seat is hot enough to warm his butt at this point. Packers trying to get to 7-3. Feels like Chicago could win this game, and then everything changes. Like, the whole discussion changes. They obviously have a new play caller taking over. What do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to certainly be a lot of, like you said, if they win this game, what does it tell us about Caleb Williams going forward? Because this is going to be one of the tougher teams he would have beaten if he can win that game. Early on, before this recent stretch that ultimately led to Shane Waldron's firing, that was a tremendous amount of offensive struggles for the Bears. A lot of things going awry for them, low-scoring totals. Even after the dismissal of Waldron, it was interesting to see some of the players kind of throwing him under the bus at the end of that. I think D.G. Moore in particular was critical of the fact that they didn't make adjustments at before halftime when they could have maybe done them a little bit sooner. So certainly going to be an interesting turnaround for the offense under new offensive coordinator Thomas Brown. I believe he was actually interviewed at times for head coaching positions across the league at other points in this offseason and maybe even the previous one. So a big game for the Bears, obviously, just to see how the offense can switch things up a little bit, but even bigger for the Packers, who are at this point in time probably fighting for a playoff spot a little bit more than the Bears are.
Zach, awesome as always, buddy. Good to see you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for coming out, brother.
Rhino, please hit another Local 53 sounder for me. Our buddy JP Flame will join us to talk about the Local 53. JP, what'd you make last night, buddy?
They stepped up in weight class, and there's a clear delineation between the elite teams in the NFL and then the pretty good teams. And this is not a knock against the Washington Commanders. They are ahead of schedule, but they're a pretty good team, not an elite team.
What'd you think of Jaden Daniels' performance?
Well, clearly subpar, and I'm kind of grouping the last two games, and let's just talk about the offense in general. I know that they put up points against the Steelers, but the offense had 6 punts in that game, had a bunch of 3-and-outs. Same thing in this game. There was a stretch during the season when we were talking about Tressway never punting. He's had 11 punts in the last two games. Jaden's a big part of it. He seems off. A lot of people speculating whether he's healthy or not. They really weren't saying that after the Chicago game or the Giants game. We don't know. There's really no way to assess what's going on with his subpar play and how much it has to do with his health. But he definitely isn't playing like he did earlier this season.
Defensively, I was actually pretty darn pleased, JP. I think if you ask them to do what they've had to do each of these last couple of games over the previous 5-6 days, I think that's too much for any group to be able to do with the struggles of the offense that we're talking about. I was pretty impressed with what they did, through 3 quarters before they ran out of gas.
I'm with you. In particular, if you looked at some of those stats in terms of the defense giving up explosive plays, and we can just go back to Sunday, the Mike Williams play, another deep shot. Washington ranked near the bottom of the league. And the Eagles were, I believe, third in plays of 10 yards or more. The secondary held up way better than anybody expected. They did a pretty good job against Barkley for three quarters. And then, you know, like you said, it might have been too much to ask. Eventually, you know, you look at the drive chart and you see what the Eagles did their last five drives. It was field goal, touchdown, 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 and they were all long drives. So they got worn down, tired. They're just not as good.
How much of an issue did you have with the fourth and two decision?
I didn't have as much of an issue as a lot of people. You know, I put up kind of an instant poll when it happened, and, you know, hindsight's 20/20. It was only up there for 10 minutes. 85% were against it. But, as I just mentioned, if you looked at the drives from right before, I think Dan Quinn knew being up by 1 point, if they hit the field goal, that wasn't going to cut it. It wasn't going to hold up against that Eagles team, which had worn down the Commanders' defense, that had been putting together these long drives scoring. So they thought they needed more points. And remember, they have this incredible fourth down conversion rate. All right, maybe it's regression to the mean, but I didn't hate the decision. They were going for the jugular.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, I think. And, you know, I think the same people that hated it today would have loved it last night had they converted and the play gone off without a hitch.
That's how it works, Danny. You know how that works.
Oh, for sure.
If they converted, it went 3 yards, score, touchdown, win the game. Everybody's saying, Dan Quinn's a genius.
Gutsiest call ever.
That's Riverboat Dan.
That's gutsy Dan Quinn for it. Turn your hat right back around, brother. So let's go to this, though, JP. My eyeline, I echo your sentiments almost to the word. My eyeline for them hasn't really changed. Maybe a little bit less excited about, oh, my God, I'm dreaming of NFC title games and the like. But they're in a tier to me, and they've shown this with their play, what they've done already, and I think what they probably will do. If you're an inferior team, they're going to beat you. And you do that, you go to the postseason. I'm pretty thrilled with the fact that they're in that part of the bucket or tier, however you want to categorize it. Sounds like you're feeling the same way.
That's what it looks like. I saw your 10-point plan on Twitter. It might not have been 10 points, 8, 9, 10 points, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I pretty much agree with it. The only caveat I'm going to say, and I haven't bought into it yet, is this whole Cliff Kingsbury second-half narrative. And you don't want to buy into it, but it might potentially be a thing.
That's what I'm worried about.
If you see this offense slow down in the next couple of games against weaker defenses, then all of a sudden you're saying, oh, wait a second, maybe the league caught up to Cliff Kingsbury's offense, and it is a thing.
JP, thank you for hopping on with us, buddy. We appreciate you.
Always appreciate it, man. Thanks, pal.
See you, buddy.
Watch JP and the Junks each morning. Of course, listen to them right here on The Fan. That is your Beltway Blitz. I actually want to get into what I just asked him with you guys. How much of an issue do you have with the fourth and two decision? I'm going to try to make the case for why it wasn't as bad a decision as people think, even if, like many of you, I would have kicked a field goal. I didn't think it was a bad decision. We'll get into that next on The Fan.
Attempt to take the lead. Oh, boy. Juggled it. Lucky he came away with it. And then he gets slammed out of bounds, short of the first down.
Welcome back to Third Hill Brewing in Silver Spring, our Friday field trip. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. We will be here until 6:30. Dan Quinn goes for a 2-yard distance, fourth down.
Yep.
Doesn't pick it up. Instead of kicking the field goal and having a one-point lead, Washington gives the ball back to Philly, good field position, and the game was never the same. I want to double-click on that decision. As we talk about this, though, and we'll open up the phones for you guys, 800-636-1067. We want to hear from you. I don't want the second-guessing knowing the game got sideways after they didn't get it. In real time, did you have a problem with the decision? As they're lining up to go, a team that had basically been batting 1,000 on fourth down all year, other than the bad spot on the Ertz play, or the questionable spot on the Ertz play. They'd gotten every fourth down. Anytime Daniels has run, they've gotten it. Do you have a problem putting the ball in his hands and letting him try to go win it? That's the question on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Before we dive into this real quick show of hands in house. When they lined up to go for the fourth and two, if you had a problem with it, raise your hand. It's only a few people,
actually.
Okay. Did you prefer that they went for it. Raise your hand. I mean, there are more people
interesting
in the building. Look, they did not get it, but all year long they have gotten that. And they've gotten here meaning 7-3, here meaning top of the division, here meaning Daniels is the rookie of the year and in the MVP conversation, because they've entrusted him in moments like that to go be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the I hate the phrase, and that's not the greatest analogy, but bear with me. You kind of live by the sword, right? Like, part of your attitude and who you are. Think of the Lions and Dan Campbell, who just has this sort of goofball personality where it's this, like, super cowboy thing, right? Well, remember, they lost a game last year where he's like, we're going for two. And I was like, okay, they didn't get it. And then, but there was a penalty. Then they committed a penalty, and they were backed up like 12 yards, and we're still going for two. Dude, like, it's okay to adjust, but it's like, no, grok, hit, smash. And that's who they are. Like, you have to die by the sword, too. Like, that's who you are. That's your DNA that you do that. When you turn it off, sometimes turn it back on. Another analogy, you play blackjack, right? You're supposed to play by the book, one way or the other. Your best odds or percentages are when you do it consistently, not when you do it most of the time and then sort of go away from it because your gut says something else. It's sort of that. If that's the way you play, then more times than not, it's going to work out for you. And it has this year. It doesn't in that moment. So for me, I think context matters a lot. I know people have said, you take the lead there no matter what. And I get that. That's why I would have kicked the field goal. I'm also not cut out to be an NFL head coach. Philadelphia had just walked down the field in a drive that spanned the end of the third quarter, start of the fourth. They looked the best they had all game long in scoring a touchdown. In my mind, I'm going, up by 1 point, ain't winning this game. Right? Now, I know there's multiple possessions to come after that, but I'm no longer thinking field goals or settling. I'm thinking about touchdowns. That's the only way I'm going to come out with a win. I get the thought process. I did not have a problem with it in real time.
So that would be the only thing that we haven't really drilled deep down on that I think makes it even more understandable that Dan Quinn elected to do what he did, which is the 11-play 76-yard drive where it felt like, okay.
They got it now.
The levee's breaking a little bit. Because I don't know if you guys had the same feeling watching the game that I did, but I watched the game the entire time waiting for the Eagles to kind of figure it out. Like, at some point, it's cool that he's missing that throw, or they weren't in sync there, or somehow the Washington defense got off the field there. I mean, there were certainly good plays. They did some good things. But Saquon was running effectively.
Yep.
They were gashing him in the first quarter. 4, 5, 8, 9 yards. But they just couldn't finish. Jake Elliott went from being a great kicker to a terrible kicker. He missed 2 field goals and an extra point. And it just kind of felt like every time they got to the sideline and the Eagles hadn't scored, it felt more like it was fortuitous than it was completely earned. And that sounds now like an indictment on the defense, which is not what I mean to do. But it did feel like, in fact, one of the guys here had an analogy earlier I'll steal from somebody. I don't remember who said this to me. But they're like, it feels like maybe a shooter. You just know eventually the shot's going to go in.
Yeah.
He's going to start filling up buckets. Well, they made their shot, and now they're in rhythm. And they made another one. And you go, okay, the offense is here to play now. A field goal's probably not going to win the game. For the people that say the field goal would have won the game, the Eagles scored 2 more touchdowns after that.
Yeah, the subsequent possession. Now, maybe it doesn't happen with the momentum.
Exactly.
And it's easy to play hindsight.
That's what you can't account for.
Again, they went right down the field. It was a Barkley big run that set it up. And then, it was the Barkley big, the first big run, because then they had another one later, which is super frustrating.
It was the easier one. It was like the 20-plus yarder, not the 46-yarder.
It was the Dallas Goedert play where, of course, the guy I made fun of, Grant Calcaterra, recovered a fumble. That would have been another Washington huge play that just didn't go their way. That was a bad break. But that was the Goddard huge catch and run that set up that score.
The 11-play, 76-yard touchdown got the lead for Philadelphia. Then Washington went down, could have kicked the field goal, followed by 5-play, 74-yard touchdown, and then the Jaden Daniels interception on the first play of the next drive, 2 plays, 46 yards, touchdown. I would have kicked it. And normally, I think at a 90-plus percent clip, if we're doing this kick or go, I'm team fourth down go for it guy. Call me Dan Campbell. I don't think enough teams do it. I think that's the way of the future in the league. You're seeing more and more teams do it. The real new frontier that people can't stand, by the way, is the teams that go for it in minus territory. This is the new wacky that I think is a 10 out of 10. When you only need a half yard, and you're at your own 38-yard line, you should go for that more often than you do. Everyone's afraid of the press conference, but it's easier. The possession of the football is the name of the game. That's the whole point. Good things happen when you have the football. That was a situation to take the lead on the road where I go, probably going to do that. Because the 2 plays before that were disasters. loss of a yard. Defense, the defensive line is moving the line of scrimmage backward. It just felt like the Wolves were caving in a little bit.
And so, just to your point though about when to go for things, just as a quick side, I've always had different views of things than a lot of people, and I get that. A lot of them I have to keep to myself just because sometimes it bothers folks. But this is one of those things.
We're just talking about sports here.
Yeah, and this is only sports. Again, I think what you think. I'm on your team. The bad thing is bad. I agree with you.
I agree with everything you think about everything you see on the news.
If you're wondering right now, does he agree with me? Yes. Yes is the answer. But I think the NFL, I think football and coaches and teams should consider all loss of possession to be a bad thing. Like, even like when it's voluntary, it's a slightly worse turnover. Like, relinquishing control of the football, where you have it and you only get a certain number of them per game and you have your best chance to score, should be seen as like the last thing that I would ever willingly do. Voluntarily giving up the football is bad. So the amount of times that I'd be going for things, way more than everybody else. Now, fourth and nine from your own 10, I'm probably not going to do that. Right? Fourth and 27, probably not going to do that. But most other times when the average play gains over 4 yards, I'm going for it a lot more than most people do. But anyway, that's a quick side.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Vaughn's in D.C. on line one. Vaughn, did you have any problem with going for the fourth and two instead of kicking for the lead?
Yes. Coaching malpractice. I was screaming at the TV when they ran out there. Kick the field goal. Take the point. So this notion that all of the fans, if things went different, is bananas. Here's my problem, if you give me a minute, right?
Go. Yeah.
You didn't go for the Hail Mary before halftime.
So what was that?
Yeah, dude. Quick side. I'm going to let you finish Kanye style. That is the one that drives me crazy about yesterday. I do not understand that at all.
Has he been asked about that?
I haven't heard if he has been. So I missed it via transit.
See if you can pull up the transcript of Quinn today. I want to know if he's been asked about that, why he didn't throw the – they're at midfield, and they did a give-up handoff.
I found that baffling.
Right? I've never seen that – my bad.
That's all right.
I just hit the table. Yeah. I've never seen that in my life. I've watched a lot of football games. From that area of the field, I've never seen that. Anyway.
Please,
go ahead.
So number two is you get to delay a game on the previous field goal kick to back you up 5 yards. And the guy still makes it. You're not dealing with a field goal kicker that's shaky, that can't make kicks, that you feel like it. You started playing sudden death football that was unnecessary. The risk reward was not there with that play, man. If you don't get that fourth down conversion, if you don't get it, the game is over. You know, everybody knows that. So no, it was a horrible decision. Coaching malpractice. Thanks for taking the call.
It's a great
appreciate
call, buddy.
Yep.
Good points. One thing I'll add contextually on the kick. That was the they went for it on the end of the field. They would have been kicking to where Elliott missed both of his field goals. Now, he missed his extra point on the other side, but as we're sitting there watching the game, it was to the right. That's the same end of the field.
Yeah.
And there was a little wind, so maybe they're feeling like outdoors, elements, something's not right over there.
So to note that one, that's the side with the open, I don't know how, if you're looking at the goalposts, the left corner is the open spot in the stadium. That side, you could see the flags, the wind was swirling. The other side, a lot more calm. Again, just talking about the flags that are above the goalposts that usually tell you which way the wind's going. But that side that they were facing, the wind was blowing a little bit.
Elliott missed two field goals, including one equidistant to what they would have basically been kicking on that side of the field. I don't know if that was a factor or not. The other thing is he said, well, your kicker made a 45-yard field goal. He did, but it's still a dude that didn't have a job 10 days ago. As of the Steelers game, Zane Gonzalez had not kicked a kick in the NFL since 2021, 3 years ago. So I can't get that upset that Dan Quinn said, I'd rather have Jaden Daniels have the ball in his hands than Zane Gonzalez. And it's not like it was a 29-yarder. I mean, it was a 43-yarder, 10 yards longer than the extra point now, which get missed from time to time, on a night where a really good kicker who had not missed a kick inside of 50 missed two on that side of the field. So I just think that's all got to be thrown out there. 800-636-1067, you want to talk about that decision. Was it actually that big of a factor, or were they doomed anyway because the defense just couldn't hold up that late in the game? I still got to get to some of the overreactions we've heard from around town in our next hour. We're live at Third Hill Brewing in Silver Spring on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
DJ. early assessment of this game? I know you haven't watched the film, but just an early assessment of this game.
Yeah, we got to capitalize. I got to play better. Some throws I want back, for sure. I think we all just got to look ourselves in the mirror and say, how can we get better moving forward?
That was Jaden Daniels post-game last night in Philly. Can I say, by the way, that I absolutely love how he conducts himself, how he carries himself. Everything he does like a veteran, even playing. I mean, last night was the first time he's looked like a rookie all year. But for him to come right out and say, I need to be better, that is going to go over so well in that locker room. It's when you're not playing well, and in this case when you have a bad game, it's me, right? When you're playing well, the leaders, it's a we thing. It's never I or right. me. But to see him go out last night, and I've seen young guys in that locker room at that position over the years who didn't do that, and it really annoyed and bothered people. I mean, that is going to really, not that he needed it, but further make his teammates feel good about where he's at.
Yeah, and you can, you know, it's not just lip service, right? It's the, you can read a book. Like, my wife used to work with this guy years ago who, like, clearly read a manual, not a manual Forbes, but, like, read a manual about, like, how to be a manager. And, like, each new chapter he got to, he'd walk over, it was like, have casual conversation with coworker. Hey, how was the weekend? Like, what is going on with you in your life? And it was so transparent and obvious. You can do a couple of things. Like, someone may have told him at the podium, do X, Y, Z. Well, when it doesn't meet all the work and all the extra effort and all the different things you're doing, not for show, but just to try to be really good at football, then it becomes off as artificial if you only do one part of it. Because that part matches the rest of it, you see this authentic bond that everybody has and how much confidence they have in him, that even if we're 0 for our previous 10, the 11th is going
to
hit.
Well, and to that point, like succinctly, I would say that I think that Daniels, it's easy to say the right thing and do the right thing when you're the front runner for Rookie of the Year and you're the MVP hopeful that everyone's been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Last night was a night where it did not go well.
Yep.
That was truly the first time where it was kind of bad, and everybody saw it be bad. It was national TV. It was prime time. He could have just kind of used the deposits he's got in the bank, taken out a withdrawal, not made it about himself, and said, yeah, we struggled. We just didn't get in a rhythm. The offense wasn't smooth. You know, it made it a bigger story. Not that anyone would have taken issue with that, but, like, it wasn't me. It was the offense. We were in a funk. No, he said, I wasn't good enough. I got to be better. I want these throws back. I just think that was a big boy approach. Let's go to the phones. Rodney's in Upper Marlboro on Grant and Danny wants to talk about the 4th-and-2 decision. Did you have a problem with it? Rodney, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I did not have a problem with it, per se. I had a problem with the play call because he tried to run on 2nd-and-1, and it failed. He tried to run on 3rd-and-1, and it failed. And then 4th-and-1, you're not playing a pitiful defense. You think you're going to fool them by running again on 4th-and-1? That didn't make sense to me. The play call, actually, in my opinion, was terrible all night. We didn't see anything that we haven't seen before. I mean, like, there was no flea flickers. There was no Wildcats, there was no throws downfield. There was nothing other than the same thing that we've seen all year long.
Yeah, there was a little bit less creativity maybe, but it was a short week. It was 4 days. I mean, you were installing your – I mean, we talked to Austin Eckler on Tuesday night, and they had basically just started their install for the game on Thursday. You know what I mean? So I don't know how much you're expecting in terms of wrinkles or going outside the box, number one. But I disagree on the play call on 4th down being a problem. You ran twice downhill with Brian Robinson up the middle. This was a completely different thing. You got pullers out in front. It's Jaden Daniels around the edge on basically a power sweep. It's the exact play that's been their bread and butter in short yardage and that he scored touchdowns on and has been a go-to play in the red zone for them. It has not been stopped behind the line once. They are 12 of 14 as we sit here right now on 4th down this year. The Ertz non-first down spot to end the Steelers game, and that play last night. And I would say their most successful 4th down play has been Daniels' designed runs.
Yeah, I mean, the only counter against that is Jalen Carter blew up the play on Brian Robinson previously. Jalen Carter was responsible for, you know, the second stuff, I guess, on third down, and then blew that play up too and kind of disrupted the rhythm and timing of it. Maybe do something away from him. Easy to pick on.
Yeah, on the fourth down, we don't know who did what wrong, they wouldn't say, but Quinn said that two pullers ran into each other, and when you watch it, left tackle Brandon Coleman is pulling to the right.
It just, the whole operation didn't look right from the initial exchange.
Well, he bobbled the snap, first of all, which was, the timing was off.
Mm-hmm.
But the left tackle Coleman's pulling right. There's two pullers that way. And Sam Cosmi, the right guard, is pulling left. Well, I don't know why that would be happening, but he and Coleman run into each other. Cosmi was lined up in front of Davis, who you were just talking about, 98. Or Carter.
Carter, on the right side.
93, yeah. He was lined up in front of him. He pulls, vacates. There's no one to block him. He came untouched.
And he came untouched.
So my point is, there was a miscommunication on the line, and Daniel said last night he needed to say the play louder, which I don't know what that means in the huddle or if he was changing protection maybe up front.
Mm-hmm.
But he thought maybe some of the confusion with the pullers was that he didn't say something loud enough and it was loud in the stadium or something. I guess that kind of stuff happens with a young quarterback on the road. But this is my point. It hasn't all year.
Right.
Like, we have not heard Bo Nix in Denver. I'm sure there's been an anecdote like that, right? Drake May, who had 20 career starts in college, there's probably going to be a moment where he didn't say something loud enough in the loud stadium. They have avoided that kind of thing for basically 10 games.
Yeah, and there are always going to be moments, right, where the superstar closer blows a save. You want to trade him? You want to demote him? You know what I mean? Like, Mario, I just finished watching that Red Sox comeback documentary on Netflix, which, by the way, is incredible.
It's great.
Like, the greatest closer ever to live blew a save against the Red Sox when they're up 3-0. You want to get rid of him? You know what I mean? Like, you want to make some major adjustment? No, like, crazy stuff happens in sports.
How good is Millar in that documentary?
First of all, he's aces. But, like, you get to the point where the guy that you've ridden with and done the exact right thing, as to this point, 12 out of 12 times, now you're 0 for your last two. I'm not ready to throw out the baby with the bathwater here for something that's gone 12 out of 14. You know what I mean?
What's your overreaction today as a Commanders fan that's in the back of your head that you're trying to talk yourself out of? Like, what's the thing now after a couple losses that is bothering you that you're going, oh, stay away, negative thought? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny. Third Hill Brewing, Silver Spring on Georgia Ave. We'll be here until 6:30 on The Fan.